1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The Supreme Court is hearing arguments right now on Colorado's ban on conversion therapy for LGBTQ teenagers. Attorney James Campbell represents the counselor challenging the law.
If heightened scrutiny doesn't apply, states can transform counselors into mouthpieces for the government.
The government shutdown has entered its seventh day. CBS News confirms a memo circulating at the White House that says furloughed workers might not get back pay. House Speaker Mike Johnson.
There are legal analysts who think that that is not something that government should do. That, if that is true, that should turn up the urgency and the necessity of the Democrats doing the right thing here.
Flight delays and cancellations are piling up in the meantime. CBS's Chris Van Cleve.
Staffing issues, including sick calls, hit several major airports and ATC centers on day six of the government shutdown, with staffing at some facilities down by 50%.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. The cranberry harvest is well underway across Wisconsin, and we've led the nation in cranberry production for the past 30 years. But this year, growers in the state are projected to produce 5.3 million barrels, which is less than the 2024 harvest of 6 million barrels. Grant Hawley is the executive director of the Wisconsin Cranberry Growers Association. He says cranberry research has changed focus a bit over the past year and a half.
Our researchers, seeing the handwriting on the wall and seeing how temperatures, the climate, not the weather, the climate is ticking its way up, they started to move those research pieces over to heat tolerances.
With the shortened season, growers are looking at an average year of production. This year was likely on the border of what the fruit can tolerate in terms of heat and humidity for prolonged periods. Holly said if this is the average climate we can expect going forward, cranberry growers will probably be okay.
If that degree keeps ticking a little bit higher and we keep getting warmer and more humidity, then we need to start to worry.
And what Holly said would cause the worry are bugs and pests cranberry crops haven't had to worry about before.
Are the cranberries going to be fine? They are. They grew up here. They're made for Wisconsin. They're not going to go extinct.
But Holly said these changes to the cranberry climate could cause a drop-off in plant production. Researchers are working to mitigate that as much as possible. But even with these challenges, Holly said Wisconsin isn't likely to lose the cranberry crown anytime soon.
We are producing about 67% of the nation's cranberries, a little over half of the world's cranberries. Are things going to get a little bit leaner? Yeah, they are. But we're not going to lose that title. Wisconsin's still going to be the home of the cranberry.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, a few clouds going into your Tuesday afternoon with northwest winds turning breezy. Highs in the low to mid-60s. Tonight, freeze warning goes into effect. Clear skies and widespread frost expected as lows drop into the lower 30s. Currently 49 degrees.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, but I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Butcher, maker, drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people.
Time for hour two of the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. James and Aaliyah hanging out with you for the hour, and we got good stuff lined up. Gonna get into some entertainment news to kick things off in a little bit. We got Uber testing out this new method of payment, cash.
What
I think
is
I'm
that?
Saying, I don't know if I'm saying that right, cash.
I don't know. No, it sounds wrong.
We've got that coming up for you. Also, four phrases you can use to shut down unsolicited advice. I think that this is going to be an interesting one. I did not pre-read that one. I'm curious to see what that one has. We'll dive into that. But we get into entertainment news to kick off the hour. And I would say a Wisconsin icon almost. I don't know if icon is a fair word, but I would say pretty close. Well, I'll say this. They don't build statues for people who aren't icons.
Okay.
And Henry Winkler, as the Fonz here in Wisconsin, and Happy Days and all that, he's got a statue in Milwaukee that's a really cool one. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to check it out.
I literally just saw it on Sunday.
Oh, right
on. I walked over to it. Took a picture.
Cool. For the audience to look behind the curtain just for a quick second, I wanted to spend the entertainment section just basically listen to Aaliyah talk about you and your husband seeing Adam Sandler and being
so
this
amazing.
Close to somebody who has been that close to the Sandman.
We were probably a good 30 feet away from the stage. Like, I didn't have to look at the jumbotrons. I could just see the wrinkles in his face from where I was sitting. So, yes.
I
sit in your jealousy. Stew,
I'm just
man.
Stewing so much over here. You could just, I'm like in a cauldron and you could just stew it. It was a really good show.
It was so good. I laughed, cried, felt like a teenager again. Grew up with him. I mean, he's a generation, he's about 10 little over 10 years older than me, but there's not a part of my, you know, teen years to now where I just don't remember not enjoying an Adam Sandler film.
I'm with you. I saw him for the first time on the old TV show on MTV, Remote Control.
Oh my gosh,
I remember him being on there, and it feels like I've known him, or he's been a part of our lives for so long.
And I was a teeny tiny kid when that was. I was like 10, 11 years old when Remote Control was on.
He's a huge fan of his.
Yeah.
And we actually do have a segue, a tie-in, because Adam Sandler, big fan of Henry Winkler's as well. Cast Henry in many of his movies.
Yeah.
Maybe the best is The Waterboy. I really like Henry Winkler, the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really liked him as that.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Henry Winkler has a side gig outside of acting, and he has for many, many years. He is an author.
Mm-hmm.
And a very, very accomplished and very good author as well. In fact, he's got his 40th book coming out.
Oh, wow.
And it's a kid. He writes a lot of kids' books.
I knew that.
Henry Winkler's new kids' books, marks his 40th publication for young readers.
Aww.
It's crazy. 40 books he's put out there.
That's awesome.
Detective Duck, The Mystery of Emerald Pond was released on September 30th, and it follows a feisty, resourceful duck who also cares about the environment.
Aww.
The Happy Days actor shared in this great article on People magazine. You can find it at people.com. He talked about his how he didn't fall in love with reading right away. It was later on as an adult in his 30s.
Mm.
Because in his 30s, he was diagnosed with dyslexia.
Okay.
And this hits home for me as I was in my late 30s, but I was in my late 30s, maybe even my early 40s, when I took a test that my therapist at the time wanted me to, and turns out, I've got minor dyslexia.
Okay.
And this is so common with people of this age range that I'm hearing more and more of that. They just didn't test for this stuff,
no.
You know, when we were kids as much.
No.
Or didn't have as the integral tests that they do nowadays and everything. Mm-hmm. We're discovering more and more of us. And it's not a coincidence to see so many people who either struggled with reading or felt like they didn't like reading, but also were diagnosed with this.
Yeah.
So this is something that he touches on in his books.
Mm-hmm.
It's an experience that myself, him, many, many people go through, and he's kind of touching on this and also talking about resilience.
Yeah.
A lot of that with this character and these books and everything. So those were two things that he dreamed up. Also, coming up with the idea for this book and for books in general, a very interesting. Hear him quote in the article here, and I won't read the whole thing. I want you out there to read the whole article. But quote, his wife, Stacy, he's referring to here. Well, Stacy is doing the puzzle, and I walk in, and I pick up a piece, and I put it in, and I walk out. Winkler tells People. And Lynn called out and said, hey, remember that Hank Zipser had to take a book out of the library, and it was called Detective Duck. Wouldn't that be a great character?
Mm-hmm.
And then as he looks at the puzzle, and he's like, oh, I know where the pond is, too. It'll be here in the puzzle.
Oh.
So the puzzle was a picture of New Hampshire.
Okay.
And so he's like, oh, I'm putting the duck in New Hampshire. So it just starts spinning from there.
Wow.
And him and his wife have created this great little character.
Oh.
And a lot of these books they've worked together on.
That's awesome.
They're great books. Encourage you, whether, you know, for you or the kids in your life, to check them out, look at them, support this great artist.
Yeah.
And, you know, also one of the cool, it's one of the coolest arcs to any actor's career I think we'll ever see.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point in time that Henry Winkler was the coolest guy on TV.
Mm-hmm.
absolutely the coolest guy there was. Mm-hmm. And then he goes and takes that and becomes later in life this lovable, silly, fun character. And,
so is.
Yes, the Adam Sandler movies, but he is guest spotted on so many great TV shows. Arrested Development is the one that I think of the most.
Also Parks and Rec.
Yep. Yeah.
He was great on Parks and Rec.
He plays a great disheveled attorney.
Yes.
Like, and it's so weird to me to see the coolest guy on TV go to that.
Yeah.
And successfully, like very successfully.
Also pretty cool on the show Barry. I don't know if you've seen that one or not.
He was really good on that. It's cool to see. And another one of those really interesting careers, mm-hmm. Henry Winkler. So Anna Kendrick, famous from the Pitch Perfect movies,
yes.
And she's done a couple of others. She had a hit song, too.
In My Household, Trolls. If you are the parent of Gen A children, you will have been terrorized by trolls for several years now.
I forget that. She's done a lot of voice acting,
too.
And
she's got a great voice for voice acting.
Yeah. And a very likable person. Mm-hmm. She was on a Conan show when I was on there once.
Okay.
And I didn't get to meet her or anything, but everybody talked about how kind she was, mm-hmm. and she was going out of her way to say hello to people and stuff. And apparently she, the hair and makeup person that was doing the main hair and makeup, we only had one person on the Conan show. It was not a big budget.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one hair and makeup person, and she apparently was going through a bit of a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
And Anna like helped her out or something.
Aww.
Like, and it just met her. Just a really sweet human being.
I love when you hear that these people are just humble and kind, and it just, you know, makes you like them even more.
And she's also not opposed to the supernatural.
Okay.
Anna Kendrick thinks she saw old Nessie, the Loch Ness monster, when she was in Scotland on the set of the Traitors earlier this year.
Okay.
Quote, the trip was incredible. We went all around Scotland. We went to Loch Ness, and I'm a card-carrying skeptic, and it's like UFOs, Bigfoot, what are we talking about? She doesn't really get into a lot of that stuff. There, quote, there was a thing, it came out of the water and looked right at me.
What?
It might have actually just been one suspicious ripple, but I'm telling you, there was something there. I felt it, and she really felt like she might have seen. She's not saying she did for sure,
okay,
but she feels like she might have saw the Loch Ness Monster.
Well, I mean, people have been saying this for, I don't know how long, but hundreds, I think, of years. So who knows?
They've done. I watched a long time ago, not a documentary, but one of these ones where they're going to go and they're going to see is Nessie really there.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring all this modern equipment, and they practically drained the pond or whatever it is, and everything, and all this, and nothing. Of course, they found nothing. And I don't know. My brain needs to know answers. I hunt down answers. I love learning of every level, of every type of thing.
Sure.
There's some stuff in life that I feel like, though, is meant to be a mystery.
Yeah.
You know? I don't put any stock in Bigfoot or the Loch Ness Monster or any of that stuff. I don't know if it exists or it doesn't. My brain needs facts, so I just stay away from that stuff.
However, if you put me in one of those, you know, flying cans over the Bermuda Triangle, I'm probably not going to be too pleased about it.
Right. I hear you. Yes. Yeah. That's a whole different one. That Bermuda Triangle thing is, there's way too much data on that one.
Right.
When it comes to this stuff, though, whether I believe it or not, really doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, teach their own. If you ain't hurting nobody, I see no problem in believing in these things. Again, you know, there's a line in the sand. You don't want to take it too far. And we certainly shouldn't be making TV shows finding Bigfoot and then finding him.
Yeah.
5 seasons. You get 5 seasons of finding Bigfoot? Nah. You get 1 season. You don't find any evidence.
Right.
You're canceled. You're canceled. How does that show last 5 seasons
kind
and you
like
never find Bigfoot?
The Curse of Oak Island. I don't even know how many seasons they're into it, but like, just find the treasure already, guys.
I almost commend them at being able to stretch it out like they do.
I know, right? Oh, my
goodness. Yeah. I don't know what she saw, but she saw something, apparently. One of the things, I don't find a lot of interest in fame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think of it as something very interesting. If anything, it seems like it has more drawbacks than positives.
Mm-hmm.
But every once in a while, there is something that pops in my mind that I'm like, well, that would be kind of cool if I was famous.
Mm-hmm.
So for a long time, Tom Hanks, Bill Murray notoriously will crash weddings.
Sure.
Just you know, they happen to be in Chicago filming a movie.
Why
and they
not?
Hear this wedding happening at this, and they just go show up. And of course they could do that because they're Bill Murray or Tom Hanks. That seems like the most exciting thing to me about fame.
Yeah.
Like literally that's the top of the list. Being able to support causes, you know, awareness to them and all that, certainly. That's a whole other category. But as far as like the interest of fame to me, that seems like the most interesting part to me to be able to do that.
I think even if I was famous, I don't know if I would just, I don't know if I would have, you know, the gumption to do it.
I like weddings, and I feel like if you could read the room, I feel like you know.
I do like cake. That's a highly motivating factor.
Mm. Well, I haven't heard this before, but apparently Meryl Streep is also one of these people that does this.
She
will just kind of show up. Now, she's not as brass about it as like Bill Murray is or anything like that, but she will do this from time to time. And we had this article from CNN.com. The devil wore Dolce and Gabbana on Saturday when Meryl Streep took a front row seat at the designer duo's Milan Theater in character as Miranda Priestly from The Devil Wears Prada. So she didn't just crash this fashion
show. Character.
She came in character as her character from The Devil Wears Prada. Apparently, they are filming in Italy right now a sequel to that.
Okay.
And she was on set. She was in character already, and she heard this was going on. They have a downtime on the set, so she just decides, I'm just going to walk over there and do this.
Did Stanley Tucci go with her? Because I feel like I saw photos of this.
Maybe. I don't know. If I didn't read the complete article here. I'm not seeing if he did or not, but
okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if he did, because he's one of these people that will do that, too.
Yeah.
So they had some fun with this one, with her character and all that. I have to be honest, it's the one Meryl Streep movie I think I haven't seen.
Okay.
The character is incredibly famous.
Yeah.
And apparently they love this. They were all over it. It's kind of a fun story. It's kind of cool. You can read the complete article at CNN.com, go into their entertainment section, and you will find it right there. Speaking of entertainment sections and entertainment going on, there's a couple of things I wanted to bring note to when it comes to that. And one of them is our WFHR newsletter. We've got a new newsletter coming out, everybody. It'll be out this week, Thursday. Be sure to go over there, sign up for it, and get us your recipes. We want your recipes to be a part of our 85th anniversary cookbook. Keep on the lookout for that. We're going to be wrapping this up as far as taking recipes in a little while here, everybody. So you want to make sure to get those to us as soon as you can at WFHR.com. A little bit later today during the Rapid Support, Birthday Girl and Executive Director over at WRCT, Gretchen's going to be joining us. We're going to talk about the variety show, Silver Foxes, and a bunch of other things they got going on. That variety show is coming up October 11th. The Silver Foxes have their productions going on October 23rd and 24th. And there's plenty more to talk about. We will with Gretchen a little bit later. Encourage you to go to wrctheater.org and find out more right now. But Aaliyah, you were last night at a rehearsal for Beetlejuice, right?
Yes.
And that's coming up in just a little bit.
It is. And I unfortunately don't have the exact dates, but...
I had that somewhere.
Oh, you know what? They are out. Pam has the exact dates out at the front desk, actually.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll
get that in before we wrap up.
I was at the rehearsal last night because my youngest is in the ensemble, and Maddie, who was just in On Golden Pond with us, is also in the ensemble, and so many great kids that I've seen perform in our children's theater programs here in Rapids. But one thing that I wanted to bring up, we are having a Singo fundraiser on Saturday, October 25th at Rams, Wisconsin Rapids Area Middle School, in their cafeteria. $20 for 3 cards, and all of the funds raised will benefit the WRPS Children's Junior Theater Program. So we'd love to see you guys come out and support our incredibly talented kids. This show is going to be insane. It's going to be so good.
They got some great great kids involved with this one. It's a great show.
Yeah.
That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll get those dates, too, of the show itself coming up. But that fundraiser is a really good one.
Yes.
That's going to be great. So go ahead and look for that and sign up for it. Everybody, encourage you to do so. Also encourage you to follow them on social media as well. Mm-hmm. All of our local high schools, it's a great way to keep up to date and all the things that they got going on in their schools.
Mm-hmm.
We will take a quick timeout. We'll come back and wrap up the first half an hour here on The Morning Show.
Vanity Fair calls BritBox a delicious streamer. Collider says everyone should be watching. Catch Britain's next best series with BritBox. Stream acclaimed new originals like Code of Silence.
You read lips, right?
And Linley, based on the best-selling mystery series.
Yeah, Linley. Take it from here.
And don't miss the new season of Karen Piri, coming this October.
You don't look lip, please.
I'll take that as a compliment.
See it differently when you stream the best of British TV with BritBox. Watch with a free trial today.
Lakeland Care is proud to be named one of the top workplaces in Wisconsin for 2025. But what really sets us apart is our commitment to providing personalized support for frail elders and adults with disabilities. Our care teams go above and beyond to help our members live their best lives with dignity and independence. Interested in becoming a member? Visit your local Aging and Disability Resource Center to see if you qualify. To learn more, visit www.lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, a few clouds going into your Tuesday afternoon with northwest winds turning breezy. Highs in the low to mid-60s. Tonight, freeze warning goes into effect. Clear skies and widespread frost expected as lows drop into the lower 30s. Right now, it's 51.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Aaliyah and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us, everybody. So I think a lot of people, certainly many people remember how a lot of us, we cut the cord of cable to go to streaming to save money. And now a lot of people are realizing that they're just going to save more money if they go back to cable.
Right.
It's kind of a thing that we do in society. It's not the first time we've done something like this, but it's a modern example of it. Now we seem to be doing this with cash in the way we pay.
Yeah.
Forever, growing up, you had to have a purse, had to have a wallet, had to have something because you had to have something to carry your cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as a society, we moved away from cash and are becoming a, quote, cashless society and all this. We are getting rid of all that stuff. You will still hear people barking about getting rid of the penny and all that kind of thing. Well, Uber has started testing a new payment form, cash.
Okay.
So we're going back to that, apparently.
All right.
They've been introduced in select cities over the past few weeks, and it just hit some bigger markets, including L.A., San Diego, Dallas, and Orlando. Uber says the idea is to expand transportation access to everyone, and not everyone has a bank account or credit card or debit card.
Sure.
And some riders just prefer cash, even if they do have those things.
Mm-hmm.
You quote, you still need a cell phone, though, or a way to book your through the app.
Yeah.
Basically, you book a ride as usual, and you select the cash option for payment. Then you hand over bills and coins when you get to the destination.
Mm-hmm.
It's also optional for drivers. They have a setting on their end that they can set to accept cash or if they want just cash or a card or just card or that kind of thing. Although some drivers say the feature was abruptly added to their accounts without warning and accept cash was the default.
Huh.
So that's certainly a technical thing that they'll have to work out.
Yeah.
It's optional, so it's not a huge deal, but some drivers are upset. The main one is that the main reason they're upset, they're worried that it might create a safety concern because now they could be targeted if thieves think they're carrying cash on them.
Yeah, that's true.
There are also issues with handling cash, like customers expecting change if they overpay, awkwardness with tips, getting Uber, it's a cut because they're going to want that.
Yeah.
And dealing with people who skip out on a fare, of course, and worrying about that part of it. There's also so much of our society that got away from touching each other, any of that and the cash thing of it. To me, using a card, like a lot of the time you have to hit like three or four other buttons.
Yeah.
Every machine is different.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just get the same card machine at every retail store?
And the same set of instructions.
Just the same machine at every retail store, every grocery store, every gas station, same card reading machine.
Right.
They're all different, and all of them are just trying to be different than the other one. Like, they got these added questions that nobody ever answers and all that.
You sound like an angry old man yelling at a cloud right now.
This is me yelling. While at the same time, I completely get it, and I get the convenience of it. But every once in a while, it actually, there are situations where it feels like it's easier, like, hey, just take the 20.
Yeah.
And that's it. And we're good. And then I just move on. I don't have to hit any buttons. I don't have to pull my card out and out or all that. All this stuff also, I wouldn't say it angers me, but there is a part of me that gets a little frustrated, even with my own self.
Yes.
Like, how much easier do you want this to be? And I'm talking to myself as much as anybody else out there. I'm not at all, like, pointing fingers on this one. Like, really, think about how things used to be. Think about how, for a lot of us, especially if you grew up poor like me, you had change a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just like, okay, a dollar in change, so I got four quarters. No. Yeah. You needed to get some
100 pennies.
Yes. Yeah. And that. And carrying that around with you as a kid or something like that. Like, I mean, it's a lot easier now.
I used to love getting the little coin tubes and counting out how many pennies I was getting. But yes. Do kids even do? They probably would look at me like, what are you talking about?
I have
about?
No idea. I remember worrying, oh God, did I count to 100 right?
Or, I know.
You know, that kind of thing.
Dumping it out of the tube and starting over again.
Oh, here we go again. Uber may even be expecting some of these issues because they're not allowing cash payments after 11 o'clock at night. So that could help with a little bit of the safety concern, maybe, or some of that. Or let's be honest, you know, drunk fares and some of that, and that, where that can lead and everything. But a lot of these problems I'm hearing were here already. Like, there are already issues for Uber drivers.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, some of these jobs, you're never going to make 100% safe. You're never going to make 100% convenient. That's, again, part of the job. I mean,
we're taking shoes off at work now, so nowhere is safe.
Very true. Very true. Some of this stuff, I feel like we're getting in our own way for convenience sake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the idea of, like, how much easier do you need something? I've been thinking about this for a long time. I'm sure not alone on this one. Microwave meals were, you know, good, convenient, especially for families that had multiple working people or a single parent or something like that. I grew up around a lot of that.
Yeah.
But then they had the 1 minute microwave meal. And I'm like, well, it was already 3 minutes. Like, was that 2 minutes really destroying you? Was it really that difficult to wait two more extra minutes to have, you had to have a minute meal? And I've never had a minute meal that was good.
I'm going to admit, I am the person that throws something in the microwave and a minute is my go-to heating time frame.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it needs 15 or one, I will put it in for 1 minute and then I will probably eat it because I'm lazy.
Just as guilty. But I'm that trend there that they had for a while when we were kids, especially, where everything was a minute meals.
Yeah.
And they were never any good, really.
No.
Like, it's different if I'm throwing something in there myself.
Right.
And I throw, you know, that, yeah, I'm expecting my own, you know, I'm just cooking for myself. I feel like some of this stuff, like, how much more convenient do we have to make things? Can we focus on other stuff? We got other things in life that we're still fixing tires the same way. We have never evolve the fixing of a tire.
I think humans are just so programmed these days to, like, have, you know, Amazon Now, basically. Like, you know, I want everything right now, and that patience, you don't have that anymore, and life is so busy that, you know, 1 minute meals.
I'm okay with that, and I accept and get that and understand that there's no necessarily changing it.
Mm-hmm.
I would like it better if, as a society, we could also agree that if that's how we're going to be, then we can't get too bent out of shape when we, the younger generations, expect everything now.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that, it feels like people talk at both sides of their mouth sometimes
for this one.
Like, this younger generation, they don't understand what it is to work. They don't understand what it is to wait for things, blah, blah, blah. Well, what did you expect to have happen?
Exactly.
They didn't make this stuff. We invented this stuff.
Yeah.
We did this.
Like, I think that's why, and I'm vastly, grossly generalizing here, I see a lot of, again, as a parent of a lot of younger kids, both my own and my blended family, seeing them go back, I see them doing a lot more crafting than I ever did. And it's like my eldest has been working on crocheting a blanket for like the last 6 years, to which they say, I'm never going to stop. That's going to be the biggest blanket. You know, I could wrap the house in it, and I love this, but
that's awesome.
That takes patience and time, and, you know, I can't do it.
Yeah. I think that there's a the other side of this, like you're saying, mm-hmm. that where they're I noticed this with a lot of the rise of going to thrift shops mm-hmm. and you know Goodwills and getting their clothes that way instead of just having to get the newest mm-hmm. you know most stylish thing.
Yeah,
you're seeing a lot more of a pushback.
Well, because then you can you know zhuzh them up in your own ways,
which is so cool.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know that our generation was doing a lot of that. No. I think that's really cool.
We were out buying that. You know the swankiest stuff, whereas you see kids these days going out to the thrift stores and then you know doing whatever to them.
If you're like some of us, you spent most of your youth trying to figure out how to do that folding thing at the bottom of the jeans. I was never good at that.
I was so uncool. I couldn't do it.
I was bad. It always looked bad. It always looked bad. We will take a quick time out. While we're in commercial break, we will console each other over our fashion choices from the 90s. When we come back, we have four phrases you can use to shut down unsolicited advice. It's coming up on The Morning Show.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Proposed legislation would specify the time period for repeat OWI offenders to be able to apply for occupational licenses. Joanne Krulotz has more.
Right now, the Wisconsin DOT may permanently revoke or suspend the driver's license of anyone who commits four or more of certain traffic offenses on crimes, including operating while intoxicated. Revocation periods vary, and courts may also order suspensions. Suspended or revoked individuals may apply for an occupational license, but there's a waiting period before eligibility, and that can vary depending on the underlying violation. A bill being circulated by Republican lawmakers would allow those whose driving privileges are suspended or revoked to be eligible for an occupational license after the first 180 days of the revocation has elapsed. Those drivers would be required to have a functioning ignition interlock device in their vehicles.
Gas prices are going down in Wisconsin, but up in other parts of the country. Here's Lisa Hale.
Gas prices continue their downward trajectory, falling 5.5 cents per gallon in Wisconsin in the last week. The state's average is now $2.77 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy. Nationally, the average price for a gallon of gas is $3.08. Patrick DeHaan, who heads petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said OPEC agreed to boost oil production over the weekend, but a refinery fire outside of Los Angeles will cause prices to increase in the western states.
Prices in central Wisconsin range from $2.51 to $2.66 per gallon. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can catch the Daily News Roundup as a podcast at WFHR.com.
Another Brewers comeback. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers with a 7-3 win over the Cubs last night in Milwaukee. The crew now up 2-0 in the best of five series, which now moves to Chicago tomorrow afternoon, just after 4:00. Manager Pat Murphy.
How does this team have the best record in baseball? Then nobody predicted they'd be over 500. And then we have all the injuries. Certainly nobody was banking on us.
Home runs from Andrew Vaughn, Jackson Churio, and William Contreras, who says he dedicates it to the fans.
I'm going to do everything for the Brewer fans. I'm going to do everything for my teammate. I want to be one of the best on the plate. I want to be the best catcher. They have to look control how play. I want to bring that energy too for the team. And now it's showtime.
The Cubs now down 2-0.
After getting off to a great start, those mistakes were 2-3-run homers is going to be, you're not going to win playoff games giving up 2-3-run homers. That was just too much to overcome.
That's Cubs manager Craig Counsell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been said that nothing good happens after midnight, even when something might seem harmless, like doing wind sprints behind a bar at 12:30 a.m. Former Jets quarterback and Fox News analyst Mark Sanchez was doing just that after several drinks, apparently, early Saturday morning. It led to a physical altercation with a much older man, which is still under investigation. It was first reported that Sanchez was in critical condition with stab wounds, but now it's come out that he might have been the instigator of the incident that involved a 69-year-old grease truck driver. According to security tapes, both men, despite getting physical, were trying to record each other with their phones. Authorities say Sanchez body slammed the man to the ground and beat him up a bit before being stabbed two or three times, at which point Sanchez ran off. Mark Sanchez was arrested while recovering in the hospital, but has since been released. More details are sure to follow with this strange incident. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Big Ten football returns to Madison this fall. The Wisconsin Badgers battle Iowa, Ohio State, Washington, and others to defend Camp Randall this season. From the grind of every snap to the roar of jump around, Badgers leave it all on the field. Be a part of all the tradition Wisconsin football has to offer. Single game tickets are available now at uwbadgers.com or by calling 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Together, we're Wisconsin like that.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, a few clouds going into your Tuesday afternoon with northwest winds turning breezy. Highs in the low to mid-60s. Tonight, freeze warning goes into effect. Clear skies and widespread frost expected as lows drop into the lower 30s. Right now, it's 51.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR. Greatest bass line of all time.
Yes.
God, I love Stevie Wonder. Hope you all are having a great morning out there. Thanks so much for joining Aaliyah and I. We got some fun stuff to get into before the end of the show. Talk about our schedule. Get into some great local events going on in our area. I want to touch on all of that. But here's a good one, I think. And it comes to us from CNBC.com. We have all been there. You're wrestling with a tough decision when someone swoops in with, quote, helpful advice never asked before. Here are four ways to respond the next time you get unsolicited advice. I would say right out the gate, though, I want to start with actually the other side of this and the person giving the advice. Mm-hmm. And so I am a hyper empath, and it is in my nature to want to help no matter what the situation, no matter what the person. It took me way too long to realize some people just want you to listen.
Yeah.
Not everybody wants you to solve their problems.
Yes.
And thankfully, I learned this at some point in my life, but probably not early enough. Mm-hmm. But it was one of those things that actually, like, not only, I think, made me better with my empathy and like, more in tune with it and where to use it, when not to, all of that, but also just how to be a human being, like, much better at it and everything.
Absolutely.
I think that good intentions oftentimes are just that, good intentions, but they also cannot necessarily lead to where you want them to. The majority of people that I know in my life and everything, they when they need to vent, they just need to vent.
Yeah.
They're not looking for you to solve their problems. If they want advice, they will literally ask you for, what do you think?
Yeah, what should I do?
And if you don't hear that question, you've got your answer. Hey, they're not looking for your advice.
Yeah.
I will say that I know there's a couple of people, myself included, as much as I hate this about myself, that probably could use advice but don't always ask for it. And in that gray area, I say, good luck with me. Probably better off, you know, just waiting for the ask. But I could see, I also, because I'm like that, I've never been too bent out of shape about people, you know, giving advice.
Sure.
I think there's a difference of that, and I'm not trying to pick on her here or anything, but a difference of that in kind of like my mom, where my mom tends to take things up, you're doing this wrong, or you know, kind of treating me like I haven't grown up or something like that. There's something, a little thing, not a whole lot of stuff like this, but there's stuff like that from time to time, and she's been this way my whole life. I think there's a big difference there, and I think that part of the answer to this of how to answer unsolicited advice is, for one, not being somebody that gives unsolicited advice.
Yeah.
I think that's part of this conversation. It's not just how you receive it and how well you respond to it.
Let me tell you how you should handle this right now.
Thank you. Because I'm struggling here. I'm rambling. I know. So how do you? That was well done.
How do you handle this? Quote, thanks for sharing. I'll consider it. That's a polite way of doing this, they
is
say.
Is it, though? I guess it depends on the delivery.
So, thank you. You hit on the other part of this that I think is vitally important. Tone.
Yeah.
And tone. Yeah. And, you know, that. Tact. Tact and tone go a long way in life. Yeah,
certainly do.
And the better you learn those and the better you hear your own voice and the way you say things, mm-hmm. the better off you are.
Yes.
That's useful. That's a useful view. I prefer to handle it this way. Quote, this shows you're listening to their perspective while keeping the choice of how to act in your own hands.
I mean, that's keeping control of your autonomy. But even the phrasing of that, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'm extra sensitive today. I'm bristling at a lot of these.
They are just the two in already feel a little passive aggressive.
They do.
And number three, quote, I appreciate your input. I already have a plan for how I'll move forward. This respectfully signals that you've got things under control.
Okay.
I'm still
not convinced so far.
Me neither, yeah. And the final one here, we'll see if we get any good with this
goodness.
One.
Oh, goodness. Drum roll, please.
Quote, I hear you. If I need more guidance, I'll reach out. This validates their effort, but also prevents further unsolicited input unless you seek it out.
Okay, that one, yeah, I'm on the fence. It could go either way.
Yeah. So I get a little tired sometimes of people wanting a pat on the back for doing what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I feel like there's nothing wrong with complimenting people, and mm-hmm. we could all use a little more encouragement in life. And sometimes you just appreciate somebody doing something, even if they were supposed to do it or whatever. So mm-hmm. you say that.
Yeah.
But we all know there's people out there that are kind of like doing things just to get that like compliment or just to, you know, and I find that like, I'm not going to give you a gold star for just doing what you're supposed to do as a human being.
Okay. Come on.
But there's also, like, I don't know. I feel like, hey, thanks. Like, that answers
that
this.
That would shut everything down, you know.
Somebody gives you the unsolicited advice, you just look at them, cool.
Yeah.
Then you move on. Like, I mean, I don't know that you necessarily need to overthink this one.
Probably feel more comfortable with that response than some of those responses or... You know, as you were kind of opening the conversation, you know, what came to mind to me was, you know, do you want me to help or do you want me to listen?
Yeah. Boy, wow. Ding, ding, ding. Like,
me and my husband do that all the time. I'm like, all right, are you just venting? Do you want me to like give my input? And sometimes I do the same to him. I'm like, listen, I just want to rant. I don't want you to fix it. I just want to rant. And then you can give me a hug afterwards and I'll feel good. And, you know, that solves a lot of problems.
I think that is one of the healthier things I have heard. That's an awesome way to handle that, I mm-hmm. think. Being upfront about that is it goes so much farther. There's so much that gets lost in communication.
Yeah.
Even with somebody that you've known forever or something like that, it can get a little bit lost in the shuffle. Being that direct, I think, is healthy. I think that's a really positive way to do it.
Then they know. Then the expectation is there upfront. And, you know, or, you know, if I come, hey, what should I do? Give me the advice.
I know I'm a bit of a train wreck. I don't need you to tell me that. I'll ask you if I need help. Yeah, you know, I mean, I understand that I walk around and people just automatically want to help and give me advice because I look
that
like I need it.
That man looks lost.
I get it. Trust me, I see this face every day. I get it. But that doesn't mean I'm necessarily looking for it. I'll ask for it if I need it. I think that's a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
I think that at least the overwhelming majority of people I've known in my life, very rarely do they want your advice. And if they do, they will specifically ask.
Yeah.
I feel like this answers itself. I don't know that necessarily. Maybe they just needed to pay somebody or this person just
needed to write an article.
I don't know about this. I don't know. Because all of this wordiness, and again, I understand the pot calling the kettle black here, somebody who rambles all the time and uses a million words when I need three. But that said, well done. I don't know that they needed all this words. I don't know that it seems like a little interesting. Hmm. So one of the things we like to do around here, Leah, in the morning show is cover world records. I am bound determined to break a world record on this morning show and get ourselves into the Guinness World Records.
Okay.
Just haven't figured out what one we're going to do yet.
All right.
I know one that we might not be able to do because this lady, I think, owns this. A California woman used her love of dance-based video games to break several world records records, including the overall longest video game marathon ever. And she's prepared to tempt it again.
Okay.
She's already done this once. She's looking to break her own record. Carrie Swinecki, a fourth grade teacher, said her love of dance games started when she first attempted to play Dance Dance Revolution in the arcade back in the 2000s.
All right.
She mastered Dance Dance Revolution, and that led her to the game Just Dance, which became her favorite video game of all time.
Okay.
She said the games help her drop dozens of pounds and get her into shape, leading her to introduce the games into her after-school fitness programs with the kids. Swinecki ended up setting Guinness World Records for the longest video game marathon playing Just Dance game, longest video game marathon playing rhythm game, and et cetera, a couple of very similar records. But it also sounds like she did this just because she loves the game. I don't know that she set out necessarily to break the record. She just kind of did this as a byproduct of it. She also used Just Dance 2015 to set the record for the longest video game marathon ever, 138 hours and 34 seconds.
I can't even do the math. How many straight days is that? Several. Like a week plus.
That's almost doesn't seem humanly possible.
No.
Like to be able to do that for
Did
that long.
Did she take breaks?
Right? Yeah, I don't know what are the rules on this one.
Did she eat and dance at the same time? Yeah. Again, what are the parameters?
She broke that record in 2015, and she's now training to break it again. In June of 2021, she was in a, quote, I was in a car accident that put me in physical therapy for 2.5 years and caused me to gain over 70 pounds. And now that I'm training again, I have lost 45 pounds, gone down 4 sizes, and she wants to challenge herself again.
Yeah,
good on her for that.
I mean, what a great way to rehab. Like, I know sometimes people will have injuries or, you know, rehabilitative surgeries to their knees and things like that. And finding a really a way that you enjoy doing rehab, like, kudos to her.
When I fractured my ankle and broke my tore my ACL and MCL and all that, I they told me, you know, well, tennis is a great way to rehab it. And I'd never thought about tennis 1 second. I grew up in a hockey, boxing, football family and all
that. That's not going to help heal your knee.
No. I gave it a shot, I loved tennis. Like, I started following the pro game and all that, and I still to this day like tennis.
Nice.
It's interesting how these injuries or these things can lead you to that stuff, finding dance that you love or something. I want to break the record for longest break dancing session.
Okay.
I want to do that. In which case, it'll probably be the last thing I do.
I was going to say.
But you know, I'll go out
on
top.
We are people of a certain age, James. We can injure ourselves much easier.
My brain can still do the moves. My brain knows what to do with my body to make me spin on my hip or something like that. My body is like, oh, you think this is...
Hold up, buddy.
You think this is 1988. Oh, well, we have to remind him. But hey, hip, remind him what you are. Remind him how old you are. Hey, back.
Brittle bones.
And I'm in the hospital. She's, quote, she to wrap up, she says, I'm training 45 hours a week and have competed completed 2 practice 120 hour marathons. The only thing that keeps me going during those the only thing that kept me going during those 2.5 years was my dream to break my iconic 138 hour record.
Okay.
Good on her. Whatever gets you through, man. Whatever gets you through. And, you know, she seems very determined to do this.
That's awesome, though.
We'll be keeping an eye on that story and see if she does actually get a chance to break that record. I just like this one, so I wanted to get it in as we are getting ready for we have more records to break, and we're going to get ready for some good stories. In 2025, UK Dog Surfing Championship in Dorset, England. Am I saying that right? Dorset?
Yeah, that's correct.
England saw 3 different Guinness World Records being broken by paddleboarding pooches.
Okay.
Mark Reeves, the organizer of the annual event at Brankensum Dineshine, decided this year's dog surfing championship would include world record attempts for the most dog-human pairs paddleboarding simultaneously, the fastest 50-meter paddleboarding by a human or dog pair, and the most dogs on a single paddleboard.
Okay. I'm glad that there was an animal-related article, because during one of the breaks, I was Googling escaped animal stories, because that's been your trend with me so far.
Right.
But, you know, I'll go for the paddleboarding pooches.
Had to not only get one in, but one that took place in the UK. So you see, I'm already
you're
labeling
painting
you.
Me with a brush.
Yes, I just labeled it. The first record was broken by 10 human canine pairings competing in a 50-meter, 164-foot paddleboard race.
Okay.
The race ended in a tie. The third record proved to be the most complicated, but organizers were able to wrangle 12 dogs on a single paddleboard, and they remained in place long enough to succeed the title of world record.
Okay, then.
There is some great video to accompany this. I encourage you out there, if you need a palate cleanser, especially to go find this.
I'm thinking about, you know, are there weight requirements? Are there size requirements for the dogs?
Do you purposely just get a bunch of small dogs?
You can't put 12 Great Danes on a paddleboard. Right, it's just not going to work.
I also think terriers tend to be a little fidgety. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know about a bunch of terriers on there. I'm not sure that would work very well. I'm not sure. But it's fun. It's 12, a fun idea.
12 That's corgis cool. on a paddleboard sounds cute.
That sounds awesome. I like corgis. I like corgis. That sounds anything. The more corgis, the better. Whatever they're doing, it sounds like a lot of fun. We will come back with a lot of fun wrapping up the morning show here at WFHR.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Two U.S. Supreme Court cases this term may allow the conservative majority to strike down Voting Rights Act protections of minority voters and one of the few remaining limits to big money campaign spending in federal elections. Louisiana v. Calais, a racial gerrymandering case, returns to the High Court October 15th for additional arguments after initial oral arguments March 24th. Louisiana's black voters won a second majority-minority congressional district under the Voting Rights Act, but a group of, quote, non-African-American individuals appealed the new map, claiming it was discriminatory to them under the Equal Protection Clause of the U.S. Constitution. Justices Alito, Gorsuch, and Thomas have railed against such minority protections in voting rights, education, and workplaces. Another case, National Republican Senatorial Committee versus Federal Election Commission, attempts to strike down campaign spending limits by party-affiliated groups as a violation of free speech. While national political parties can make unlimited donations to a federal candidate, they are limited in what's called coordinated spending with a candidate, which can include renting venues, sending mail, or most importantly, advertising. It could open another floodgate of money in our elections. The cases have far-reaching implications for equity in our elections process, and we'll be following both carefully in the coming months. I'm Brian Beal.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Jim Flanagan joins to talk a Wisconsin date. Then a mystery guest drops by. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Ladies and gentlemen, pets, imaginary friends, take a listen down memory lane and spread the 411 with 97.5 FM WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. If it was released from 1990 to 1999, we will play it Sunday nights 8 to 9. Send me your requests with your beeper, or maybe DM me on the socials, or email me james.maloff@civicmedia.us. Sunday nights 8 to 9 on WFHR's Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape. Booyah!
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Sunshine, a few clouds going into your Tuesday afternoon with northwest winds turning breezy. Highs in the low to mid-60s. Tonight, freeze warning goes into effect. Clear skies and widespread frost expected as lows drop into the lower 30s. It's 53 at our studios.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. James and Aaliyah hanging out with you. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Been a fun couple of hours. Mm-hmm. Hope your morning has started off right on Serious Comedy to start your day. Got a couple of things I want to get to, including our schedule. Before we do, though, request for Halloween events. It's that time of year again, everybody. If you are a nonprofit group and you're hosting a Halloween activity or an event this month, we want to hear about it. We want to know so we can let our audience know. We'd like to share it with our listeners. We're also going to have trick-or-treat times for our local communities later this month as we get closer to Halloween. We'll do that. It's annual tradition around here. We've been doing this for, God, decades. We've been doing this. And, of course, we want your help doing it. Send your info to info@WFHR.com or give our front desk a call, 424-1300. That's 715-424-1300. Thank you and appreciation to everybody getting us all these great events. Our Rapids report today, going to be a great one. Be sure to join us for that. In the first episode, we'll have Gretchen Powers, Executive Director over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater and current birthday girl. We'll get her on the air with us. Looking forward to that. And then a little bit later, we're going to talk to our friends over at McMillan Memorial Library. Heather and Eric are going to join us. Looking forward to that. And on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, join us at 6:50 for a high school sports action. Wausau East at Lincoln High School, boys soccer. Mike and Seth going to cover that one for you. It's going to be a great match. We're hoping it does not end in a tie. All the games that we've done so far have ended in a tie.
Okay.
We're hoping just for a winner on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaliyah, earlier we were talking about a great event, the Beetlejuice event.
Mm-hmm.
You had the dates for the show that we wanted to let everybody know.
So the dates for Beetlejuice Jr. at Rams are going to be November 7th, 8th, and 9th. That's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Sorry. Is that right? No, it might not be. Hold on. Hold the phone. No, it is. It's a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday and Saturday, the shows will be at 7, and the Sunday is a matinee. And I do believe last night at the parents' meeting, I heard that tickets are available to purchase, so you can do that already.
Very cool. Be sure to find those, everybody, and be on and support that show. It's going to be a really good one. And, of course, they have that fundraiser that they're going to be doing as well.
Fundraiser, again, on Saturday, October 25th from 1 to 4 at Rams. So go support the fundraiser.
Quick reminder, everybody, that tomorrow, American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin will be open. It's open the second and fourth Wednesday of the month from 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church. Be sure to head on over there. And remember that this is for all veterans, military, police, and firefighters. You're all welcome. Make sure to spread the word about this event. Make sure all those individuals know that this is going on every second and fourth Wednesday over at Crossview Church, American Heroes Cafe. Big shout out to our friend Tom Heiser letting us know about that. And I wanted to bring attention to this. Wisconsin Rapids Family Center is inviting you to the annual Domestic Violence Awareness Vigil. The theme for this year is Everyone Knows Someone. Please join us to honor those who tragically lost their life due to domestic violence-related homicides in Wisconsin in 2024. Be celebrating those that support survivors and work to make change in our community. This theme, Everyone Knows Someone, reminds us to work together to learn about the causes and impacts of domestic violence in our community so that we might recognize warning signs and empower those affected by domestic violence. This will take place October 23rd. At McMillan Library's auditorium, 6 o'clock in the evening. Encourage you to meet us there, everybody.
And important to support that.
Keep in mind, the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center has your back. We are there for you. You can find out more by going to familyctr.org, familyctr.org. And you're going to see a lot of purple this month. I actually went and got a purple shirt just because I had no purple in my wardrobe, but I didn't realize it. But purple is bringing awareness to this cause and the attention of it. One of the ways you can show support is having a purple light bulb in your outside light. That is one way of doing it. And there's other fun ways of incorporating purple out there and everything and doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, a part of this, Mayor Zacher will be there with a proclamation, and the city bridge is going to be glowing purple.
They are already.
Yeah, that's right. They are already.
I can see them from my house.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And home and businesses will have shining purple lights, and of course, the candlelight vigil Thursday, October 23rd at 6 o'clock at McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
Appreciate this community and the way you are on the right side of history with this cause.
Absolutely.
Aaliyah, you had a couple things you wanted to touch on as well. One of them we're going to be talking about with Gretchen later.
Yes, we've got the golden anniversary variety show coming up this Saturday, October 11th at 2 p.m. at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. We've got a lot of really great acts, people coming on singing, dancing, comedy. So just come out and support the theater and it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll meet you there, everybody. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great one. And I wanted to remind our community about another good one coming up in our area right around the corner here, actually.
Yes, the community book sale, October 9th and 10th from 8:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. That's 310 First Avenue South. There's going to be free baked goods and coffee while you browse, and most books are only $1, and 100% of the profits go to Mid-State Technical College scholarships. So go out and support that. They have a lot of really great books. I went to it last year. I actually helped work it last year, and it's a really great time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do a really nice job with that. And along with all of that, the baked goods from the wonderful churchgoers and everything, they're so good.
Yes.
Check that out. Make plans for it, everybody. Mm-hmm. And save some money and the environment by shopping their costume swap over in McMillan Library. You don't need to bring a costume to take a costume. Costume donations will be accepted at the front desk of the library. It looks like they wrap that part up as far as accepting costumes, but now it's time for the costume swap. And that is going on tonight from 5 to 7 over at their all-purpose room at McMillan Library.
Awesome.
Love that they do this. Appreciate that they do this. This is being in tune with your community, mm-hmm. understanding your community, and maybe making it so some kid doesn't have to walk out there in a Pink Panther costume and get into fights. Not that I know what that's like or went through that as a kid. It was rough. The tail was so long. It was such a long tail. Like, I can't get over. Why make a tail that long in a kid's costume? The tail was longer than me. It didn't make sense. Other great things going on in McMillan. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, head on over there and enjoy some great music from the Cowboy Union Jam at their Fine Arts Center. That'll be at 1 o'clock tomorrow. Usually on Wednesdays over there, you can check that out. If you have not heard them before, cannot encourage you to check that out more, everybody. That's a really cool thing that they do. Be sure to head on over there and find out more about that. A Piggly Wiggly cashier in South Carolina gave a woman the wrong lottery ticket, but she's not complaining. She asked for a specific type, but he handed her one of the games that was a different one, and it didn't have her normal numbers, but she rolled the dice anyway and won $300,000.
Hey.
Just, of course.
There you go.
And a piglet that jumped off a truck on an Iowa highway will get to live out the rest of her life on a farm. Someone named her Peppa. Great name. That's good. Well done. A group called the Iowa Farm Sanctuary is taking her in. They say she's got some bruises and a little road rash, but she's otherwise okay and could not be happier than, well, a pig in the mud.
I had to do it.
There's another one. There's all these escaped pigs. You got bears breaking into places. It's great. It's great stuff. And been a great show. Nice work today, Leah.
Thank you.
You guys have a great day. Be good to each other out there. We'll talk to you sooner than later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief. Attorney General Pam Bondi tells Congress federal efforts in major cities have led to hundreds of arrests and recovery of hundreds of illegal guns.
Our federal surges in Washington, D.C. and Memphis are a perfect example of how the Department of Justice should operate.
The CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns is covering the prolonged government shutdown.
Both sides remain very entrenched in their positions, as they have for a week now.
Furloughed workers usually get back pay when a shutdown is settled. A memo suggests federal officials are looking for ways around that. The shutdown has led to thousands of flight delays. This flyer expressing some frustration in Denver.
I left Nebraska, came here. And as I was waiting, my husband in California informed me that there were no air traffic controllers in Burbank, California until 10 o'clock tonight.
Controllers working without pay right now. CBS News Brief, I'm Steve Kathan.